can receive. That tonight, nobody leaves here without being blessed. That we all will see you clearly. We see as we ought to see. We hear as we ought to hear. We receive as we ought to receive. And it'll become better that every darkness is dispelled. And Jesus is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Alright, so tonight, our vision was taught sometime earlier this year. I don't want to reiterate it. Our common sense. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16. In verse 13, Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" It's funny how I missed this Bible on Tuesday. Alright. Matthew chapter 16. You there? Alright. So Jesus asked his disciples when he came to Caesarea Philippi. And he says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And of course, they said what people always say. Some say you are Elijah. Others say you're John the Baptist. How can you see John the Baptist? I thought they saw John the Baptist. They saw him baptize Jesus. So, how did he transform into disciples? Hallelujah. So, he said, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say Jeremiah or some other prophet. But that's not enough. Who do you say that I am? So, Jesus teaches that more than what people say, what are your own convictions? You know, we're in a world where people readily judge another. You judge another ministry. Oh, this is what they're saying is wrong. What are you saying? The truth is you will not be judged for what you say about another or what you believe about another. You'll be judged for what you believe for yourself. Hallelujah. Are we to judge doctrines? Yes. That's no rule. You have to judge doctrines. Else you take poison. Hallelujah. Paul said in Galatians, if any man teaches another gospel, let him be accursed. Right? How do you know that it's another gospel? That means you have to know what the gospel is. Right? So, you have to judge doctrine. You don't judge individuals. You judge doctrine. Why are we judging? So that we don't be poisoned. We don't get poisoned. I don't mean poison. Spiritual poison. Doctrinal poison. Hallelujah. So he said, "Who do you say that I am?" Of course, they had many things. They had many things to say too. Obviously, the resurrection reflected that. When he said, "A prophet mighty indeed," Jesus asked them, Luke 24. So what happened? He said, "It's about Jesus, a prophet, mighty in words and in deeds." So actually, that was what they also thought he was. A prophet. But more than a prophet he is. Praise God. Alright, so, yes, who do you say that I am? And Peter, of course, by revelation says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you." Of course, we've explained that means you did not know this by experience, by human experience. You did not know this because I was walking with you. You didn't know this because we had bread and fish together, we fished together, we preached together. You didn't know this by human experience. That is, experience did not tell you this. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. But by my Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Now, that means we cannot know God but by revelation. Your individual experience cannot explain God to you. Because if it's by experience, Job said, God gives and takes away. Which would be true based on Job's experience. But God said, his gifts and his callings are without repentance. So you have to pitch your tent wisely. Whether to go with Job or to go with the word of the Lord. That says he gives without reproach. James 1, 5. Right? He gives without reproach. He doesn't upbraid. So is that you pitch your tent with Job or you pitch it with God? You pitch it with God. Personally, I've lost loved ones. I've been sick in the body. Even while on mission field. I remember one time I went to a village evangelism. The mosquitoes in that village. Subhanallah. The mosquitoes in that village. They didn't even respect missionary. What missionary? Almost 3 of us. The water was poor and everything. I was thinking about why doing the work? Some of you have said, you are doing the work of the law. I thought the anointing should be. Come on, calm down. You know if you stress yourself too much, you're not doing anything, you'll be sick. You will fall here. Before me anointing, be traveling around, no rest.
from Antarctica. You went to preach in America.
From America, you went to preach in South America.
Come back to Nigeria. You'll be sick.
Because you did not have rest.
I told you three things connote perfect health.
What is that?
Faith, food, and what?
Common sense.
Faith. You have good health.
Food.
Eat food. Don't say, no. We are living on the spiritual, on the supernatural. That's what I'm going to do. Let me digress.
Faith, food, and common sense. Rest when you have to rest. Sleep when you have to sleep.
Except you have prayer already. Don't I say, you now come prayer and I say, Pastor, I want to sleep when I have to sleep.
Hallelujah.
Faith, food, and common sense.
Alright, that's what we're going to do. So he says, you are not knowing this by experience. Then he says something after that.
That was Peter. Simon Barjona. That was Simon Barjona.
Upon this rock will I build my church.
And the gate of hell will not prevail against it.
Observe Jesus' words.
Upon this rock. What was the rock? Peter was not the rock.
Sounded funny.
Peter was not the rock. The rock was what?
What Peter said.
That is, you are the son of the living God.
By saying living there, he was explaining the resurrection.
We'll explain that sometimes later. I think we have a teaching on that.
Was explaining resurrection.
You are the son of the God who is alive.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So Peter said, you are the son of the living God.
Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church.
My church.
And the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
I will build my church.
And the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
What is the gate of hell prevailing against?
It's not the church. It's the building of the church.
I will build it.
And the gate of hell will not prevail against my building it.
Yeah. I think that's an English syntax problem.
Alright.
So, he says, upon this rock, upon what you have said, that I am Christ the Son of the living God, I will build my church. And the gate of hell will not prevail against the building of the church. I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. That's what we're going to do. But observe that. Jesus said, I will build my church. And the gate of hell will not prevail against it. And later on, he talked about the resurrection. He talked about how we're going to die and be raised from the dead. Peter said, isn't Peter? Now he took Jesus and rebuked him. You see that?
He rebuked Jesus.
He said, no. How can you be saying you will die? I thought you were a man of God. I thought you knew the word. I thought. Oh, shapapa in the word, too.
My Jesus. I thought, faith was.
Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Of course. Was there Satan on the thing?
No.
Forget. Don't deceive yourself. The word Satan actually means accuser, opposer. Someone who opposes what you do, what you're saying, or what you do.
Hallelujah.
You know, if you're in a debate, the other party is Satan. It's that simple.
Satan, don't.
Is there a real Satan? Yes, so.
Yeah, let's clear down. Because I had a great speech. He said,
what is man? I thought, he said, there's no Satan in here.
Ah, uncle.
Ah.
Imagine, man.
It's who pay.
Ah.
Is it because you're in Lagos? The only thing I have in Lagos is traffic. There's no Satan like that.
There's Satan, no?
Hallelujah.
Alright, praise God.
So he says, upon this rock will I build my church and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. So he says, you will build a church upon the resurrection.
We've explained that over and over again.
That is, as he is rising from the dead, or from the place of the dead, which you will hear scriptures call him the first begotten of the dead. As he rises from the, what teaching is that from the cross to the throne?
Please, get it. 1-3.
Yeah, all these ones were well explained. So he said, as I'm rising from the place of the dead, I'll build my church. And the gates of the hell will not prevail against. So the church came from the resurrection. Again, I'm talking about our common sense. I talked about this during our retreat earlier on January, and it's quite important. It's expedient for me to make mention of it again.
Alright.
Except one is totally blind. You know that we have a million churches around the world. Nigeria alone will have more than 250,000 churches. Nigeria alone. We have a lot of churches around. And of course, that should gladden us. Hallelujah. That should gladden any believer. I heard someone say, hey, churches, there's just churches everywhere.
We rather have churches than have mosques. Hallelujah. We rather be two than one. It's envy and the necessary carnality. Or you to say, I don't know, we are the first church here. It's unnecessary. If you like, another church should be holding service downstairs there. I really don't mind. So our members will be going there. You didn't teach them well. Praise God. Our members can go anywhere. I think. Did I bind you? I bind, I cast you. Not to go. No? Praise God. I wonder what you're looking for. Deliverance? Praise God. We'll have it two then one. So the question will be, why this local church? Because in every place, in every society, they have things that guide them. I know some folks don't go to church. Say, we are the church. You must be deluded. That's wrong. How can you be the church? You. We are the body of Christ, yes, collectively. But are we instructed to gather again? Yes. In fact, Jesus' first instruction upon the resurrection is that gather at Jerusalem. That was the first instruction. No matter how sincere you were that day, if you are not in Jerusalem, in the upper room will never be filled. You'll be filled later. How many of you get what I said? No matter how sincere, no matter how genuine your excuses, Jesus said, gather. He didn't appear to them one by one. No. He said, go and tell them to meet me at garden. Then he gave them instruction in a garden. They had to meet in a garden. Praise God. So gardens are quite important. In Hebrews, he says, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. As the manner of some is. He says, as you see the day approaching. What's the day, of course? Talking about what we call rapture. So, as you see it approaching, don't forsake gatherings. Keep gathering. Keep gathering. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:17. He said, I rebuke you. Need I praise you not? Because when you come together, you are not coming together to get better, but to get worse. That means when we come together, we come to get better. Church gatherings is not where you just come and say, I'm just going to church. You say, why? Today is Sunday now. Shall I not go to church? No. And that's the problem why we, that's one of the things we have in Nigeria. Tradition. Sunday will be church. I must just go to church. Why are you going? Just so that some clothes are meant for Sunday. And some clothes are meant for Monday to Friday. That's what it is. Jim. Praise God. No. So why are we in church? Why do we gather? Hallelujah. Alright, so, like I said, every society has their own dogma, the way things are done. You can't beat that. You can't have two pastors that teach the same way. You can't have two pastors that, even if they teach the same thing, they won't teach the same way. They won't instruct the same way. They won't correct it the same way. Hallelujah. Because people's character come into ministry too. The character of your pastor, the character of your cell leader will surely reflect on you. It's not, you can't miss that. So, in this church, there are things we do, and there are things we don't do. There are things that guide our lifestyle. It's not law of Moses. We wouldn't need that, but there are things that we do. For example, Thursday, 6 p.m. If I'm unconscious, I will know Thursday, 6 p.m. I can wake up that time, and I go back, and just say, Thursday, 6. Sunday, 8:30, which might change it, I don't know. 8:30. Now, that's a tradition. In some churches, Thursday don't matter. Right? It's Wednesday. You get what I'm saying? So, I'm not just talking about tradition like you used to put candle besides. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. There are things we do. For example, prayer rally. We pray. We take time to pray. It doesn't come every time. But when it comes, you know it has come. We do teaching meetings. What are teaching meetings? Where we just come together. Teach. Hours. 4, 6, 8 hours, just sit down. Teach. No singing. We don't sing in those kinds of things. Oftentimes it starts 7 a.m. 7 a.m, 8 hours, 3 o'clock, we round up, we go. It's our own tradition. It's how we get things done. We have retreats, which is a compulsory course. We just started, obviously. But if you're going to be a leader in this church, or you're going to lead men in this church, at least, how many retreats must you have attended? Eh? No, leader. Not slow ministry. So I've had at least four retreats. If you miss one, if you have already said that you miss one, you start again. So that one is a compulsory course. What do we do in retreat? You find out. Hallelujah. So it's going to have What am I doing here? Because Martin Luther King, whoever said it, said when the purpose of a thing is not known, the abuse is inevitable. I think I remember some of those things. So, we see that the church of God was Jesus' work. Nobody should speak against the church. As much as we have bad heads, people making merchandise of the saints, people collecting, you know, first born offering, second born offering, middle born offering, I don't know, men fellowship offering. I don't know that we have people making merchandise of the saints. The bad does not justify that everybody is bad. We see a sound doctrine in Nigeria. And I will to God, and I believe, God, that there is a revival of sound doctrine all over. Amen? Amen. Where people will yield and submit to the authority of the word alone. Alright, so the fact that we have bad eggs does not say, I'm not going to church again. There's no church. Your laptop now becomes your pastor. Or your radio. Mm. No, that's wrong. Before you know it, you're already on the way to darkness. It's subtle. It's subtle. Whatever does not have a head is a what? It's a monster. It's a monster. If Christian you should fear, is one that has no source of control. No pastor. No nothing. If his laptop spoils, his pastor spoils. Hallelujah. If his television spoils, his pastor spoils. So you have to take his pastor to the electrician or repair. I told you, when I was in my first year in university, I went to preach. So I am shooting deal, you know, like, and then, first, when I said, it happened then, in you like again, the guy said, no, we are the church. What? And then you going to church? He said, yes, I'm going. You want me to explain something to you? He said, no, don't worry, don't bother explaining it. Yes, see, I listen to Pastor Chris here. He said, but Pastor Chris has a church. Why not just go there? They know we are the church. When you laugh, I said, oh, quiet. His song. I just play his song. Yeah. Ah. Who not take an answer? He said, me, I'll take an answer. Who take your friend? I'll take your friend. Hallelujah. Praise God. As long as the church is not a building, the church is people. Right? People gather. And that means we must keep gathering. Praise God. So Jesus said the gate of hell will not prevail against the building of the church. So today when he's in the church, he's marching on. The gate of hell shall not prevail. That's fast. Come on. The gate of hell did not prevail already. Hallelujah. So you're singing well. The gate of hell did not prevail. The church is marching on basically. Marching on, we're being gone. We win him also. Hallelujah. Alright. So, the church is the body of Christ, right? Abi? Ah! You don't agree to that one. Eh? Let's see, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Are you there? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22. Worry together. Once you go. Nice feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church. Which is what? His body. The fullness of him that filled all in all. So, the church is his body. The church is the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12 verse 5. So the church is the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12 verse 5. Yeah. So we being many are one body in Christ. And everyone members of another. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members, that one body being many, are one body, so is also Christ. See, we are the body of Christ. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We are the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the savior of the body. That is the body of Christ. And then verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead,
from the dead, and in all things my happy eminence. Then Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and which behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So the church is the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
I think we just ran through almost all the major Pauline epistles. And it helps us understand that the church is the body of Christ. So you can't separate the church from Christ. You can't separate the church from Christ. You can't separate our gathering from Christ. It's quite important. It's too vital for us to neglect.
Hallelujah. So,
when it says Jesus is head of the church, that means he's Lord over. You know that his head, they will not have arm. Paul just used a figure of speech to explain. So by saying the head of the church means he's the Lord of all. Is that clear? He's the Lord of the church. Hallelujah. He's Lord over the church. So the church was a product of resurrection, a product of his eternal spirit. Because in John 2, verse 14, Jesus said, destroy this temple. You destroy this temple, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. John chapter 2, verse 14 to 19. Destroy this temple, and I will build it in 3 days. He wasn't talking about the physical temple. And he said, how can you say we should destroy this temple? You know how many? You are not even 50 years old. Do you know how many years it took us to build this temple? And he must have smacked. Can't even read it. Bible says he was talking about the temple of his body. I say, destroy, I'll build it in 3 days. We talk about the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the body of Christ. That is, it will come out of the resurrection. So, whatever we have as a church today came out of the resurrection. Hallelujah. How many of you get that? See, I'm born of the resurrection. So in Ephesians 2, again, we see that we are now a church. So unlike the Old Testament, where we had temples, and they take 30 doors, what is your thing, 30 doors? That's the remedy. And it's funny that even the Old Testament, the blood of goats could cover sin for a year. They don't sacrifice every day. They sacrifice yearly. But right now, new creations, men born of the Spirit of God, endured by the Spirit of God, they still say, I'm sorry. God forgive me. God forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, nobody ever pled the blood of Jesus in the entire Bible. It's funny. Nobody was wise enough for that. You are the one that had that special revelation to be pleading the blood. Because you don't plead the blood. You shed the blood. You shed the blood for sin. You don't plead. God plead. And it has been shed. So what you want is the reality of the forgiveness that is there. Praise God. You don't plead. You shed. So if you cannot shed, keep quiet. Keep quiet and read your Bible again. You know, sometimes you just don't even need a preacher. Just read again and again with common sense. Common sense, you're going to get it. Hallelujah. Alright. So, men make the church. So, who is the church? We can say the church is the body of Christ. What is the church? We can say it's the gathering of men that are born of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can't separate the two. As the church is the body of Christ. That's why you hear people say local church. Local church. You say, my local church is Glorious House Church. Not because we are in the rural area. That's why they call it local church. Don't say, our own church is not a local church. It's an international church. It's a global church. Oh, that's not what we are saying. Local church means there's a general church that is the body of Christ in the entire world. But my own arm, joint, anyway, say, that's the joint. My own joint is the global church. My joint is Deeper Life. My joint is Wheelers. My joint is MFM. You get that? So I got a local church. Not that one church is local, one church is international. Praise God. Alright. So, we have both as such. Both the general body of Christ and what? The gathering of the brethren. Praise God. So, upon the ascension of Christ, he told them to gather. You see that in Luke 24:49. Say, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. He said the same thing in Acts 1:4. Say, tarry. Not many days from now, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Which be filled, the Holy Ghost talk about utterance there. Alright. Because you already had the Holy Ghost. You already had the Holy Ghost before Pentecost. Is that clear? Hey! The Holy Ghost was not just coming on Pentecost. What came on Pentecost was utterance. They could not speak in tongues. But they were endued of the Spirit. Just like you have believers that they believe, but they don't speak in tongues. They are saved. How many of you know such people? Yeah? Zoom my dad quite a number of years. Speak in tongues. I've been saved. And I had the same before I was born. So, You can imagine. He has been saved before I was born. Then he took me to grow up, learn the word, and now come and get it healed. So that was the story of those in the upper room that day. They've been saved since they believe upon resurrection that this is him. Exactly. But then they were not healed. That is, they do not speak in tongues. What happened on the day of Pentecost was that they spoke in tongues. Let's see that. So, we have a church. Look at Acts 2. The first demonstration of the Spirit of God in men was in a gathering. The first demonstration, it was in a gathering. They did not receive the Holy Ghost. They did not speak in tongues. Separately in their houses, they were gathered. They spoke in tongues in a gathering. So, in Acts 2, 41 to 42, we see that they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Acts 2, 41 to 42. That is, after all the event of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were won. Hallelujah. You know, those things can still repeat themselves today. 3,000 souls. I was thinking about it some days ago, and I said, 3,000 souls is still possible. And we received that. Hallelujah. Alright, so, after 3,000 souls won, they must have wondered, okay, so what do we do now? He told us to gather. That must have been very important. So they just continued. So they gathered daily. You see Christians complaining of church. Say anything Wednesday. Thursday service. You guys didn't even come on Friday. Alright. Saturday, come on evangelism. Sunday. 4 days out of 7 days. Which some of you, your service is just already on a Sunday? That makes it 3 days. Hallelujah. So, you there complaining of church. We attend church too much. We attend church too much in this church. We attend church too much in this church. You just call it a church. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, but unlike guys in the book, in the Acts of Apostles, they were meeting every day. They were meeting in church every day. I can imagine. Did they have people that were working in GTB? Yes. I think himself was a tax. They were working. Luke was a physician. Praise God. What do you call a doctor? But yet they met every day. How can they meet every day and they will not grow? Hallelujah. So when you see all those experts in the book of Acts, they should not surprise you. These were folks that were meeting every day. So, met every day. Bible says in Acts 2, 41 to 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Steadfastly. In the apostles' doctrine. Were there teachers of the law that those times? Were there teachers of the law? Yes. Everything they say, was it wrong? The teacher of the law. No. The Pharisees were not wrong all the time. But then, the people, the members of the church, continued where? In the apostles' doctrine. There's something about your heart being single. Be fed the word from a source. When I was growing up, I'm still growing up, I mean, as a Christian, as a younger Christian, I used to listen to divers. Hey! Hey! I had one phone like that. One Java phone. Which preacher is not here? I left Nigeria. I don't do Nigerian preacher. The only Nigerian preacher I was listening to was Pastor Kusayakilu. And later Pastor Moringa came in 2012. Okay. But then, Joseph Prince, Kenneth Copeland, Andrew Womack, Bushuri. You know Bushuri? You know, you know, your sins are much. Bushuri, I forgot some of them. Careful Dollar. I had up to 7 folders. How do you get all this sandbag? I will listen. And at the end of the day, I will not be confused. This one will say this one. I now became an apostle of confusion. So I'm going to give you a question. And I wonder, which one should I give to you? Should I give you a Roman's own or get a full plan? Especially on the issue of materialism, money. Hey, you know, money is the marker. Hallelujah. That's what I'm going to say something. Money is the marker. Anybody can preach grace. So grace is easy. Many people think it's a revolution. That's what everybody's preaching. Let's preach it. But money is the marker. When it comes to money issue, you not start hearing things. The star is the galaxy of the heart. The heart is the galaxy, is the type of the universe. The universe is the type of the solar system. Like Shafa. That is the type. That is not paying me. Yeah, now say Jesus is the type of God. How much wealth? How much Christ? Jesus is the type of God. Who is now the 90%? Allah. That's the next day. And this is a pastor that preaches grace. Money is the marker. When he, after preaching on the grace, he now comes to tithe. Ah. No. Concerning that tithe. No. Concerning, Moving over them. Yeah. Money is the marker. Praise God. Tithe is not even worth teaching, basically. Because common sense should tell you that God does not ask before he gives to you. He doesn't. If he does, how is it different from human? Praise God. Praise God. It's asked, it shall be given. Not give, it shall be given. Alright. So, hey, they continue steadfastly in the apostles, doctrine, and fellowship. So, don't be diverse. Maintain, Jesus said, if your heart is single, your body will be full of life. Praise God. So, don't venture into confusion. If you see where the word is being taught, you see where you're comfortable. Basically, you might not even be comfortable. Somewhere like this, you most likely will not be comfortable in your first 3 months. It's not like you grew up like the way I grew up. Before that, you hear the words, you will not be comfortable. It's as though everything you ever knew, they are just uprooting. Hallelujah. First time I listened to Brock Hagen, in just one teaching, everything I knew. Everything I knew was wrong. In just his own teaching, I didn't know that the Christ. Bring him, I didn't know that the Christ. Oh, how can you tell me? How can you just tell me that the Holy Ghost is in me forever? Like, when I say it leaves, the Holy Ghost will leave you. It leaves you in a bad thing. Praise God. You know, so, you might not be comfortable, but then comfort and growth don't go together. There's nobody that God uses that seeks pleasure. No. Sometimes you just know that's not about you. Because without us, remind myself every time of this ministry. Your ministry is somewhere where you can easily become a showman. We have that all around. It's now showmanship. Almost business. I've sworn an oath with my life. No worry, I didn't swear in any show. It's myself. Never make the life of the same. Hallelujah. See people. Yeah. And the Bible says, calm down, pastor. When I even see you like that, I know that you can't teach sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine, man, take time. Guy, that leave you. I used to teach with them. FCC Paul. Before, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. You know, you can't, there's somebody here. That's the other time. What of King? That's it. So, the Bible says, the book of John, in John chapter 2, I shall see Moses. The day I sat down to write a good sermon that was long and I wanted to teach it. And I calmed down. So today is long. John chapter 2, verse 3. Because you know that you want to say something. Praise God. Alright, so discipline is in that you have just one teacher. Paul said to Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says, continue in the things that you have heard of me. Commit them unto faithful men who will teach others the same. 2 Timothy 2. Hallelujah. Praise God. He says, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit unto faithful men. We will be able to teach others also. So Paul is telling Timothy, after he already told him, be strong. Now says, what you have heard of me, teach it. Don't mix it. Don't say, pastor did not finish it. Let me. No. Your cell manuals that your cell leaders used to teach, they are basically the things that are taught. In fact, sometimes they say word for word to teach you again. Praise God. You must learn to stick to the same thing. Truth does not have variables. Truth does not have two sides of the story. The moment you stick to balance it, it becomes a lie. Paul says, the things that you have heard of me, what am I teaching about? Our common sense, right? Yeah. Paul says, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, commit unto faithful men. Who will be able? The mistake many pastors make is, we look for able men. Men that, you know, you see a guy throwing things of the spirit in the church. Verses well. It's able. It's strength. That's it. Well, come and become a leader. Is that when you go there, you used to scatter your church? That's in English. Praise God. Says, give it to faithful men. They will be able. So in ministry, faithfulness rates over ability. Let that always ring in your head. Now, come on, sir. Faithfulness is what you should pursue. They are faithful men. Hallelujah. I've seen faithful men. Men have, they've stuck to a particular pastor over years. An example is Pastor Abioye. Right? Abioye. Winners. Pastor Tom. Near Mecca. Over 30 years of ministry with Pastor Chris. Through the slanders, through the media, uproar, everything. Those are faithful men. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a faithful man. Alright, so you must not find it hard to teach the same thing. To listen to your pastor and teach the same thing again the way it is. Don't teach what you've been taught. No one's asking you. So, rapture. Okay. I know I have talked about rapture. That one that we did during Bible seminar, that was, it's not even tip of the iceberg. It's the tip. It doesn't even have the iceberg. But I don't say that so that you not rapture. Rapture will not be scaring you. Because many people, they hear rapture and they, if that is what, then you do not hear the gospel. You need to stay before. Is that clear? And be patient before. Rapture should not scare any believer. Just word, yeah. So that would be damnation. But you should not scare any believer. Don't judge me. Ask me your heart. Alright. Alright, so, you must not find it hard to teach what your pastor teaches. And find it, you must not find it hard to keep quiet on what he has not thought about. For example, I have not thought about Trinity in this church. I know you can explain it. You know how God is the Father, He is in the Son, and what we have as the Holy Spirit in us, right? But have you seen a topic I call Trinity? How can I go and teach something? That's what my message is, Trinity. What is zero? What is zero in hell? Praise God. You must wear the badge of a follower with pride. Some people are ashamed of their church, of the local church. I met one guy. He said, what church do you attend? He said, you don't know it. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. You don't know the name of your church. Because we have a wrong mentality to think church means, we must have like stadium facility. Then, you know, light. Not this one. This one I don't even see. You see light. Light of the world. You see light. You know what I'm saying? Like, shh, 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 My church toilet. My church toilet. Toilet, go to where you washing. Go to where you... Don't say zero. Prayer. Your prayer life. It is a battery. It is a battery life. It's minus 40. Your prayer life. Go toilet of your church. Go your proud. I said, keep quiet. You say, why they say that? When I ask for the name of your church, you say, even if you are free, I say, yes. Even if you are the only one. See, my choices, you must bear this price. Because there's no small family. Hallelujah. There's no small family. I let the family say, because they have two kids, it's a small family. A family is a family. Hallelujah. As much as we're growing, as much as we're going to win more souls, disciple more men, a family is a family. Praise God. And we are not in we are not rushing yet. If it's rushing, we have giving so. We just put a last drop. You remember? After drop, they win rice, win, and people will not come. Come on, you think we will not come? They scholarship. What else? People will be eating after the service. We'll use gimmicks. We'll be doing concert.
Yeah.
People will come. I mean, it's not you. They will come. But we'll never give into gimmicks. Because we don't want that kind of crowd. We don't want it. We don't need it. And after my church, yeah. You know, the doctrine time, preaching time, yeah. We are not rushed. Because what we are building is not temporal. It's something Jesus will see. And will say, this is a glorious church. When we started out, I told those who were around that day. Three of them, right? Three of you guys. Right? I said, what we are building is not Gabori and if it's that, I know how to do it though. Ah, you know where I'm going. I know how to do it very well. That would use the farm they can give us support. Hallelujah. But no, no, no. Want to raise men that will be full of work. Men that will teach the way I'm just teaching. Men that won't stalker, they won't stammer when it comes to their issues of their faith. Men that will flow easily with the things of the spirit. They won't find an issue with rejoicing. They won't find an issue with tongues and interpretation. Those are men want to raise. No men that know how to sing or don't know how to dance. How will you be dancing in church? Who is this? It's time for the hands. Well, I'll see you. I'm not Hey, Dadu. How many hours for Samuel? 30 minutes. 5 minutes. You are done for the Sunday. Abba.
Hallelujah.
So, it's called our common sense. Be a good follower. A seed of your local church. A good seed of your local church. You must all find it hard to use the devotion. How do you want to start your day? To share it. You share. You must be a good ambassador. A good seed of your local church. Is that clear? Is that clear? You act. You talk. You speak like someone who is taught the word. That's the way you should act. That's the way you should talk. So, we are a church. Hallelujah. And together, we reach the world. If you observe in the book of Revelation, when Jesus was speaking to churches, he gave different instructions to different churches. The instruction to churches in Ephesus was different. Go and read Revelation chapter 1 verse 17 to chapter 3 verse 22. I think we talked about that during our retreat. He gave different instructions to the church in Ephesus. He called them a word church. They were a word church. They were preaching. But then they were too particular about false doctrine. That they have forgotten evangelism. He said, you have negated your first law. He said, in the bid to correct people, you don't evangelize again. Now, to criticize. That's what you do. So you rebuke them. That's not the same thing for the church in Simeon. In the church in Simeon, there was no rebuke. Just instructions and encouragement. So, different things for different churches. The joy of it is to stay with your own local assembly. And God has to say to you. You know, sometimes God does not tell us things because he has told our pastors. I was telling someone on Tuesday. The pastor, he came from Bivasi. Came from Akure. I was telling him. Sometimes God doesn't tell us something. Yes, that's true. Yeah, we have the Holy Ghost. Yes. But sometimes God gives instructions to your pastor. For example, the church in Ephesus, the church in Simeon, the church in Thyatira. Jesus did not write to each and every member of the church. He didn't send their mail. He wrote to the pastor, to John. They tell it to the angel of the church in Ephesus, which is the pastor. Angelos, my messenger. The pastor of the church in Ephesus is the one you should tell this one to. You are forsaking your apostle. So, pastor does not tell it to the church. They won't know. Hallelujah. So there are instructions that are with your pastor. There are instructions that are with your cell leader. You know, something about ministry is that know that first know that it's not about you. So we have to think because it's not about us. We know one day we are going to all stand before the Lord. It gets me every time. Every time. We are all going to stand. We'll give our account one by one. And your pastor will also give account for you. Scripture teaches that. Hallelujah. So that must influence the way we now. That must influence what we do. We must not just want what God wants. We must want it why He wants it. Sometimes you just want people to know why are you doing it? What's your motive? So that you can be popular? So that you can have money? What's your motive? But not just want what God wants, you must want why you want it. So that knowledge of the glory of the Lord is covered here. Hallelujah. And we'll see that happen in the name of Jesus. So, for seven churches, he gave different instructions. And that was Jesus talking. Give seven distinct instructions to different churches. So, look at your church and focus on your church. The truth is, nothing concerns you with what another church is doing. That's just the truth. I'm talking about our common sense. And it drives us in this church. Nothing concerns us. If you like, let from your gate of your church, put candles to walk with, and put Quran. You want to like? Is it my church? But the moment you come on TV, or you say on Facebook, and any church that has not put candles, you have made it a public document. We make our public. And that's what Paul talked about the faith. That's what Jude taught. Contend for the faith. You can read the post. I think one of our posts talk about that. Judgment. Alright, praise God. So give your all to your local church. That's how we can reach the world. The local church tries and grows on the hands of faithful men. Not men that don't care. Yeah, I don't care. Some of you don't even know how we... Just know that we have now got to this place. Right, we are now in this place. The exegesis, context, pretext, you don't know. Hallelujah. You think it's a free gift of nature? Charisma? Is it charisma? Hallelujah. We reach the world. Hallelujah. So, be determined to run with faithfulness. You know, we're going to enter June tomorrow. Hallelujah. You ask yourself, have you taken a retrospective look at save? When you get up to do that, how many souls save? If you can at least 3, that 31 days, something is wrong. Something is wrong. I want to see you. I could have said it in another way, but let me say it very, very well. Something is wrong with you. 3 souls in 31 days, you don't. How many have been discipled through you? What does disciple mean? How many are you teaching God's word? How many people? How many people are getting to know God more because you are alive? How much did you give to the local church? You know, you can calculate it per month. I do mine per month. I give to this church. And I thought it's a shepherd. Yes, it's a shepherd. But I want to know if I'm doing better. I want to know if I'm getting greedy. I want to know if my loss is now consuming me. If I'm all about myself, I want to know. Moment you see, January, 50K, February, 55K, March, 32K. And your income did not reduce. April, 12K. May, nothing. June, 2K. Ross, he takes over you. Hallelujah. Am I? Have I entered you? So, ask yourself, very, very important questions. What was my commitment to my local church like? So that's commitment. Your mind is running. Evangelism. You go to evangelism with sadness. What everyone is about? Obviously, you are against them already. How do you preach? How much have you preached? Ask yourself. Because these are the things that your Lord and Savior will ask you at the end. He will ask you how many cars did you buy? How many degrees did you bag? He will ask you. He will ask you where did you work? Diamond Bank or this? Or Shell? Or Loot? Who ask you? He will ask you. What did you do with the gospel? I pray that you not be quiet. I pray that you not be ashamed. I won't be ashamed. We can still do it then. See, nothing must affect your passion for the Lord. I said last week, Thursday. Things will change. You will change. You get richer. You get married, some of you. Not all of us. Hallelujah. Some of you will get married. You just choose to. Some of you. Because of ministry. Like Paul. But whatever the situation of life brings, never let your passion wane. Never allow it to affect ministry. A day before believers meeting, God was still telling me the same thing. And I wonder how I was almost shaking. Because I was praying. I was listening to Brian again. I was praying. Well, when the meetings come like that, I listen to Brian again and Pastor Noinka over and over again. Just keep it on place. Sometimes I didn't even hear what they're saying. I just want them around me. And so listen. God said, never let ministry take second place in your life. I have to stop. Hey, it's not. I have to tell myself, what now? I started thinking about many things. How far? She mustn't lose it. But sometimes it shouldn't just come because you don't prepare for war at the war front. Never let ministry take second place. Before you got the job, you are always praying. You are always reaching out. You are teaching children. As you are teaching children, as you are teaching adults, as you are teaching, you are teaching everybody the gospel of Christ. The moment you got the job, even to pray, before you sleep. But when you wake up, you check your WhatsApp. Okana. You wake up, WhatsApp, what check? Like that. WhatsApp, what check? Oh, he pray. Direction for the day, you don't even know they are going to work. You didn't pray. So, do you give your time? No time cannot be an excuse. And there's no time.
You are not half as busy as some people that are actually actively involved in ministry. You are not half as busy. I used to think I was busy too. I'm actually very, very busy. And I used to think I was busy. I met one man. Hey. Four is awake. Every day. Four is awake. Seven is at work. And from last four, he's not sleeping. He's not touch work. He's in the media. He's in the media. Or something. Seven is at work. He won't come back to five. Five, he comes back to work. Touch work. From touch work, meeting. And he says, hide us. The day, I stayed with him just a day. I just told myself, I said, you're not busy. He doesn't even post his account has been there. Maybe 2014 was that time he even obeyed anything. As when you know someone is busy. Praise God. Do you give your resources? Do you give yourself? Do you give your time? Do you give your resources? You say, primarily money, over. The other things can come into play. Your skill. Praise God. Any of us be told money. As though you're going to take it to heaven. Hallelujah. Whatever treasure, we let it go. It shows that we have a greater treasure. If I can withhold my money at the sight of Jesus, then I really don't love it. I really don't. It's mouth love. It's kele love. I know the kele love. And now it's kele love. Praise God. Matthew 6:24. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and serve money. You cannot serve God and serve money. So ask yourself, when last did I give my money to the church of God? When last did I give my money to pastor? The scripture teaches actually that you bless those who teach you the word. Galatians 6, 1 Timothy 5, 17. The fact that we don't emphasize that here doesn't mean it's not true. So, whatever we all give, we all volunteer. We all, including, you know, the clergy,